بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى قل ان كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elder and friends, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, has given us the hidayah to discuss the seerat, the life history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The purpose of discussing the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to hear the different angles and different dimensions of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inculcate in ourselves the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person has love for someone, he listens to that person, he obeys the person. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem to listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And having love for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would lead us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you claim that you love Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, fattabi'uni. Follow me, follow my way, follow my sunnah. And then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will love you, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will forgive your sins. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is Ghafoor, most forgiving. Allah is Rahim, Allah is most merciful. Allah give us a tawfiq and hidayat to inculcate in us the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says, خط لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطا ثم قال هذا سبيل الله. On one occasion Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم drew a line, a straight line. Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم then told to a sahaba that this straight line represents the path of Allah تبارك وتعالى. ثم خط خطوطا عن يمينه وعن شماله. And on that straight line, on the right and the left, Nabi Kareem saw some drew small, small lines. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Ala kulli sabil minha shaitan yad'u ilay. On every line, every path, beside the straight path, there's a shaitan that invites the people towards that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter recited an ayat of the Quran Kareem, Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'u. This is my path, straight path, follow that path. The path of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala mentions, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. Your iman is not perfect, it's not complete until you don't subordinate your desires, your wishes, your aspirations to that which I have brought. The deen of Allah, my way of life and my sunnah. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us hidayat to listen to a seerah, inculcate in us the love for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also to practice on the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our last discussion of the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we discussed the sickness, the last moments of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got ill, and how the health of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started deteriorating. Today we discuss the sad demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is unanimously accepted that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the 11th year after Hijrah. It is also unanimously accepted that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the month of Rabiul Awwal. It is also unanimously accepted that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on a Monday. The difference is, what was the date that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away? Some of them say it is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and some of them say it is the 2nd of Rabiul Awwal. If we go on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, there was no 12th Rabiul Awwal that fell on a Monday. And most of the muhaddithin, great senior ulama, historians, they are of the opinion that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on the 2nd of Rabiul Awwal. It was a habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would come to the masjid often for every salah. He was a Nabi of Allah, he was the Imam, he would lead the congregation. As much as possible, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to a masjid and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lead the salah. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell ill, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to the masjid to some extent stopped. In Bukhari Sharif, then a narration from Umme Fazal radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the last salat that I've heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on a Thursday. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away on a Monday. The Thursday before that, the last salat, Maghrib salat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed, and in that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Wal Mursalati Urfan, which is in the 29th juz of the Quran Kareem. Day after this Maghrib salah, there was no other loud salah, a salat in which this audible qiraat was recited by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it was Isha time on the Thursday, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's health deteriorated. He fell unconscious. He regained consciousness. He asked the Sahaba, did you people perform salah, Isha salah? Sahaba mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are waiting for you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam again would fall unconscious. Again he would regain consciousness. He would ask them immediately, did you people perform salah? They would say to him, we are waiting for you. Again Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fall unconscious. And then finally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to the Sahaba, Muru Aba Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Instruct Abu Bakr to lead the salah, lead the congregation. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was there. She knew the major implications of a person performing salah and being an imam. She told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, my father is soft-hearted. If he would stand in a musalla and he would recite the Quran, he would cry and people would not be able to hear his qiraat. Why don't you appoint Abu Bakr to perform the salah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again mentioned, Muru Aba Bakr fal yusalli bin nas. Hadha Aisha repeated this for the second time, for the third time. And then finally Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with emphasis, Inna kunna sawahibatu Yusuf. You women, you are like the woman of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This is referring to an incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam where Zulaykha, when she was accused by the people, by the community, by the society of having an obsession for Yusuf alayhi salam, she then decided to justify her obsession. She called all the women to a party. Her intention was that she would then call Yusuf to pass by, Yusuf alayhi salam to pass by. They would then see Yusuf alayhi salam and the handsomeness, the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and realize her obsession. And to justify her obsession, she said one thing, Zulaykha said one thing, but she meant something else. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hinted to that and he told to Aisha that you woman, you're just like the woman of Yusuf. You're saying something, you're meaning something else. And in fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sensed the feeling of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that is why he had mentioned this. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi commenting on this, he said that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had two concerns for her father being an imam. Firstly, to be an imam comes with great challenges. It's not easy for a person to be an imam of a masjid. It was not easy for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to be an imam in the presence of such great illustrious people and in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She understood the challenges. Second, she felt, where is the lofty position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and where is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala? One is a Nabi, one is a non-Nabi. And imagine my father standing on the musalla of a Nabi who was performing the salah. People may not take well to that. So, out of consideration for her father, she told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell somebody else to perform the salah. That's when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned for the third time, tell Abu Bakr to perform the salah. The fact that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the imam in his lifetime, it shows that Abu Bakr Siddiq was indeed Imamul Muttaqeen. He was the Imam of the Muttaqeen, of the pious people, and it was also an indication of him being the deputy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill, he could not come to the masjid. The next salah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid was on a Sunday, Zuhar time. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was already performing the salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took support on Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and dragging his feet, he comes to the masjid. Abu Bakr Siddiq was already in salah, and he perceived that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. So immediately, he adopted the position where he would be the follower of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would lead the salah. That was the very last salat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the ummah. It was a sirri salat, a salat in which there was no audible qiraat. The last salat in which there was audible qiraat was the maghrib salat on the Thursday. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned home. Then it was that Monday morning fajr time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the physical strength to come to the masjid. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is leading the congregation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts up the curtain of his home and he looks at the sahaba and he was happy. He was satisfied. The ummah is performing salah. The ummah is engaged in ibadat. The ummah is being obedient to Allah, being in a masjid, congregating for the pleasure of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy, delighted at that. Sahaba, they were not far away from the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were very sensitive to what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. So they sensed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is watching them. And out of happiness, it was almost that they would break the salah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala also sensed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is observing. And he indicated as though he would stop his salah for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to continue with the salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then drew the curtain down, and that was the last many people have seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was on that Monday morning after the Fajr salah, Ali radiallahu ta'ala went to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes out from the house and people asked him, because he was also the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was from the Ahle Bayt. So people asked him that, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? At that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seemed better. He seemed fine. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala told the people, Asbah bihamdillahi bari'ah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is feeling much better. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Nabi Allah, إِنِّي أَرَاكَ قَدْ أَصْبَحْتَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ كَمَا نُحِبْ. We see that you are feeling much better. This is what we desired. وَالْيَوْمْ يَوْمُ بِنْتِ خَارِجَةٍ. Today is my turn to spend by my other wife that was living in the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara. Now look at the adab of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
He asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Afa'atiha? Should I go to that wife or should I remain here?" Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "Naam, go and visit your wife." As the day went on, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's health deteriorated. And then came the very last moments of the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reclining on me. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha for the past few days. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was giving support to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was weak. At night, it was the habit of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to recite the four quls and blow on himself. But on these nights, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala would recite the four quls. She would blow on the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and for the sake of barakah, pass the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over himself. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very, very weak. And as the day passed by, according to some narrations we understand, it was before midday, and according to some narrations we understand, it was at midday at the time of Zawal. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sweating profusely. There was a container of water near Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would put his hands, his fingers inside a container of water and sprinkle upon himself. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti sakarat. No one worthy of worship but Allah. Indeed, there are difficulties during the pangs of death. Indeed, there are difficulties at the pangs of death. Whilst Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in this condition, the brother of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha entered, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr. He had a miswak in his hand, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu looked at the miswak with a lot of love. He looked at the miswak very closely. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha understood that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is observing that miswak and he desires to make miswak. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you want that miswak? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam indicated yes. She asked the miswak from her brother Abdul Rahman. She chewed it in her mouth. She softened it. And then she made the miswak for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the last sunnats of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before departing from this world was making miswak. A great sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the books of hadith, is so much of emphasis on cleansing the mouth and making miswak. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala mentions, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِتَأْخِيرِ الْعِشَاءِ وَبِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةِ. Nabi Karim s.a.w. mentioned, had I not feared difficulty upon my ummah, then two things I would have done. I would have told the ummah to delay the Isha Salah. And second, make miswak at the time of every Salah. So much of emphasis of miswak. In one hadith, Shuray ibn Hani says, سَأَلْتُ عَيْشَ بِأَيِّ شَيْنْ كَانَ يَبْدَأَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْبَيْتِ. She asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to enter the house, what he would do first? What was the first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do when he entered the house? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, Bissiwak. First thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do would make miswak. Because he would want his mouth to be completely clean so that when he conversed with anyone, no bad odor, no smell comes out from the mouth. In one hadith, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, السواك مطهرة للفم مرزاة للرب. Making miswak, it's a means of purifying the mouth. And it's a means of the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما جاءني جبريل قط إلا أمرني بالسواك. Whenever Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me, imagine the angel sent by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala coming to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Every single time Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to make miswak. How much of emphasis there is about miswak. And in one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam reported to have mentioned,
تفضل الصلاة التي يستاك لها على الصلاة التي لا يستاك لها سبعين ضعفا.
If a person makes miswak before performing salah, the virtue of that salah supersedes the salah of that salat on which miswak was not made 70 times.
The one salat we make miswak before that, the reward immediately multiplied 70 times.
This is the last sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they had practiced. Allah grant us tawfiq, Allah grant us hidayat to practice on this great illustrious sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned that if a person make miswak at the time of his maut, Allah will make the kalima easy for him. And if a person is engaged in intoxicants or maybe drugs, whatever that case may be, that take the person's mind away, then there's a fear of him being deprived of the kalima at the time of maut. Allah save us and Allah protect us from that. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, we used to hear from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, Jibreel, the angel of death comes and he takes away the lives of people without any prior notice, without any prior information. But the prophets of Allah, they are excluded from this. They have given the privilege. Before their lives are taken away by Malakul Maut, the angel of death, takes permission from them. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Bir Rafiq al-A'la, which means that join me with the greatest companion, with the greatest friend. Referring to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, she says that immediately what I heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his lifetime, that the angels, the prophet have been given an option, the angel of death takes permission from them first. I knew that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have now chosen Allah, chosen to leave the world and given preference to meet Allah over us. And that is when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had left this world. And this was the sad demise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before concluding, these two points that we understand from the sad demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very purpose and objective of creating this world, according to some narrations, was the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some narrations we understand, and supported by other narrations, had it not been because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah would not have created this world. And this is also understood from one narration in which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Bu'istu ana wa sa'atuka hatain. That I've been sent to this world and me and Qiyamah are like this. That means the purpose of the world being created is me. I have come, I'm gone, and now Qiyamah is close to come. Nabi Sallallahu indicated toward these two fingers. Like the difference between these two fingers, the middle finger and the forefinger, what is the difference between them two is the difference between me and Qiyamah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, then this is a sign of Qiyamah not being far away. And the second analysis we understand, one is the world coming to an end. That is the Qiyamah. But we should also understand that there is also a Qiyamah to come to each and every one of us. And that is our own death. We are also going to leave this world. And Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are going to pass away. And the people also going to pass away. And that even applies to you and us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He came and taught us a perfect life, a perfect sunnah, hayatan tayyibah, beautiful life. For us, the challenge is to emulate the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to pass away in that condition. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us a dua. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Oh Allah, you grant us barakah at the time of our maut and barakah after we pass away. Another dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our consciousness, our concern should always be of death, life after death. We're going to stand the court of Allah. Hisab and accountability. What am I going to answer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for what I have done in this world? Allah has given me a life. You have sent me to test me in this world. I'm going to leave this world and stand in the court of Allah. What am I going to answer to Allah for what I've done in this world? And that is why the dua we should be making, Allahumma hasibini hisaba yaseera. Oh Allah, when I stand before you, take easy hisab, easy account from me. Do not make munaqasha, do not scrutinize me. Allah, if you have to scrutinize me, then I will definitely be caught and I will be punished. This is a dua that we should be making. We make dua, Allah tabarak grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take lessons from the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and implement it in our lives. What happened after the demise of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the impact on the sahaba and how the sahaba reacted to that, that inshallah will continue our next discourse. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.